Would money well invested? Well, everybody loved Grandma, but not everybody got to live with her. I lived with her between 4 and 5 years, longer than some of her husbands. So I got to know her really well. The first time I lived with Grandma, I was 13 years old and didn't know really what I wanted to do with my summer. And my dad had just given me a 22 automatic, and I wanted some place where I could go out and shoot it. And she said, well, if you come and work with me this summer, I'll buy you all the 22 shells you can shoot. Well, how could I pass that up? So I went out with and stayed with her one summer, and sure enough, I shot all the 22 shells I could shoot. And in the evening, we'd go out and set water, Grandma and I, and this was when she was married to George Ray. And that was one of the best summers that I can remember, just peaceful in the country and living with her. One thing about Grandma, she never raised her voice much. When I was 17, she had this 59 Ford Fairlane she was so proud of because it didn't have a dent on it. It looked like new, ran like a top, and I took it on a trip to Ontario, do a little shopping. And on my way back, I was going to pass this car in the left-hand lane, and just before we came to an intersection, it decided to turn. I smashed that car up all over, totaled the car, smashed it, almost rolled it. And no one was hurt, fortunately. She took one look at that car and she said, dang, I just had the spark plugs changed. That was it. She went out and bought a new one. Second time I lived with grandmother, I was 17, just out of high school. The day I graduated, I loaded up my car. It was a 56 Chevy and hit the road. I thought, man, I'm just going to go on this great big adventure, which took me all the way to New Plymouth. I stopped at Grandma's place and never went any further. Why would I? We had everything going. Robin was there. We went to the Institute of Religion, and she had just met Jim Cannon, and he was starting to court her, and it was, you know, kind of a highlight of her life. I remember when I had that 56 Chevy one day, I went out, and something happened to the radiator hose, and it broke, and it burned up the motor. And I loved that 56 Chevy about as much as she loved that 59 Fairlane. And so I was moping around and, you know, feeling sorry for myself and out on the lawn. And she came out and she looked at me and goes, what the heck's wrong with you? It's just a car. Get over it. Get on with it. Grow up. And that's how she felt about everything. You know, she just, nothing bothered her. She just like water off a duck's back. And I think that was about the only time I ever heard my grandmother raise her voice. She was fearless. She went to France and Germany back in 72, 73. My cousin Mike Lee was in Germany, and I was in France, Switzerland, on a mission. And she just said, well, heck, you know, I don't have anything else better to do. I guess I'll just take a little trip over there and see my grandboys and what they're up to. And so she traveled all by herself, airlines and boats and buses, and nobody bothered her. She got along great. And I was a zone leader at the time, and we were giving a conference, and there she was on the front row. And she says, you know, this missionary stuff doesn't look so bad. So the next day we take her out with her. We're all knocking on doors. She stayed for 2 or 3 days, and she was a missionary right along with the rest of us. I guess she was fulfilling that Woodruff spirit. She took one look at my suit, and she says, that suit's got to go. And the next day she went out and bought me a brand new suit. I think she bought you one too, didn't she, Mike? Yeah. Best grandma, you know, she could have been down to her last dollar and she would have shared it with you. Bought cookies or ice cream or whatever. And just made the most of it, and you never knew how much or how little she had. She had an indomitable spirit. She cancer twice. Her only remark about that was, "It's good to have my hair back." She outlived four husbands. That's no small feat. And one day she was out, going out into the yard. She fell down and she broke her hip. And, you know, to everybody else, that was a big deal. Well, you know, to her, I just hurt myself a little bit. But I'm so dang mad I didn't see that blasted hose. That was her big complaint. She didn't see the hose, wasn't it, that she broke her hip. She healed like in 3 or 4 months. It was a miraculous recovery. So, you know, indomitable. Nothing really had that much effect on her. So after my mother passed away in the year 2000, I spent a couple of years with my dad and consoling him, and because my mother, she was one of the best people you could have ever known, and so my dad really missed her, and so I stayed for 2 years with my dad, and in between time I would go to Boise and do some work there, and when I was in Boise I'd go see Grandma. Grandma would say, "Well, why don't you come stay with me a little longer?" She says, "I'm all here all by myself, and I'm not real crazy about it. And I can't remember if I've taken my pills today or not, and you can come and help me." And I said, okay. So it didn't take me long to make another wise decision, and I moved in with Grandma again about 2002. And Joe was right about the fridge. First thing we did was cleaned the whole fridge out. And went shopping and got everything going and moved in. And she had this thing about river rats. She was afraid that there were too many river rats around. So she says, "I've got to have a cat. And I want a black cat. I don't want just any cat." And she had three cats. And one of them was black. She says, "It's got to be a male cat. So I need you to catch that black cat and make sure it's a male. The only way I could catch it was with this big fish net." And that cat did not want to be caught. So I went out one day and trapped it and caught it. And sure enough, it was a male. And she had that cat from then on, and that cat was her best friend, and it wouldn't let me touch it for love nor money. Hated me from that moment on when I caught it with that fishnet. And sometimes I'd say, "Well, Grandma, it's time to go feed your cat." She'd say, "Well, doggone, if that cat's hungry, it can just go catch itself a river rat." And later she'd go, "Well, you don't see any river rats around here, do you?" "That's because that cat's doing its job." We only live 3 miles from the river. So she was funny about that. But she was really a delight to live with. She had that old wood cook stove, which now has made its way up to St. George in the kidnapping. But we'd get up in the morning in the winter and we'd light that fire. And she taught me how to cook. She taught me how to cook chicken and noodles. She just threw a chicken in this pot and let it cook for a while. And then she'd throw noodles in and a little bit of that and a little bit of this. And she could make the best chicken noodle soup that you can imagine. And she liked my spaghetti. Never called it spaghetti, she called it spaghetti. And so we'd cook together a lot over this wood stove and have ice cream. She always let me handle the remote on the television, so we got along good there. And let's see. Her favorite sayings were, "Well, what's for breakfast? Where's my black cat? See any river rats around here lately? Did I take my pills yet this morning? When's Stan and Madge going to come?" She always liked it when Stan and Madge came, because we'd always hop in the car and go through Emmett and Letha, where I knew her as a child growing up. Just take a drive on the old road, and she really enjoyed that. She was a lot of fun to be with. And her secret to life, I think, was She was always busy. I'd see her out there in the morning raking leaves. Sometimes she'd go out into that Red Rock driveway and she'd rake it. She'd be working in her flowers, raising roses, and she had some of the prettiest roses on the block. And she was always positive about people that nobody else was. And she always found something good to say. One time she had someone come in and live with her, and this person made off with a substantial amount of her silver. And the only thing she had to say was, well, I guess he needed it more than I did. So that was the key to her life, is she always saw the positive, she rolled with the punches, and she was a great example for all of us. And she leaves a legacy. She had five wonderful children, smart, witty, intelligent kids, and an untold number of grandchildren who are really, in my opinion, leaving a wonderful mark on the world. So thank you, Grandma. We love you, and we miss you.